This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you. This is Aubrey, as I said, not as many people here as I'd like. Hopefully some will drift in. I'm sending out a reminder as we speak, but I think it was really more important to get this discussion on the record and recorded so that we have it to work from. Very much appreciate Krista and Herb being here for this call, even though Herb has been here for many of our calls and I think is actually a member, at least a participant in much of the work that we've been doing in WS2. Just to follow the formalities, the agenda basically has one substantive item, and that's a discussion with Krista and Herb, complaints officer and ombuds, in terms of, you know, what it is they do, the roles, the responsibilities, and how that fits in with some of the ideas that we have been tossing around as responses to some of the issues that got discussed earlier in the group. For the completeness sake, I've got the two reports listed here, but really there is no update on them. The action item, which was to invite the complaints officer, was obviously completed, and then we have the schedule update and any other business, but and the calendar and any other business, and we'll talk briefly about our next meeting at the end and whether we're actually canceling the other meeting this week or not. Any changes anybody would want to make to that agenda? Okay. Oh, and a vacation day for Herb. Thank you for coming again. Okay. Just checking to make sure that those of us that are not staff all have, are completed and updated SOIs, but I don't see anyone on the call that wouldn't. Is there anybody just on the telephone that I do not see in the Adobe Connect room? Okay, we'll assume there isn't. And in which case, that's done for the intro. And so I'd like to basically turn the floor over to you first, Krista. And, I know you said you were preparing something. Does Brenda have any slides you need, or do you not need any?
Hi, Aubrey. Thanks. This is Krista Papik. No, I don't have any slides.
Okay.
She doesn't have them. Okay. So thank you, Aubrey, and everybody for having me here. I really appreciate it. Once again, my name is Krista Papik. I am the complaints officer for the ICANN organization. Today, I was going to, just try to familiarize everybody with the role. Since it's newly established here at ICANN, I thought I would first review the objectives of the office and the value we believe it will deliver. And then I was going to talk about the types of complaints that should be coming to the complaints office and maybe give you a few examples. And then I wanted to dig in a little bit into the issues and analysis table Aubrey had provided, and I know that you've all been working on, where you've listed several issues and kind of talk through the ones that I think would fit easily or nicely potentially into an area that could be addressed by complaints or things that could be referred to the complaints office. So with that, I'll start with objectives. In its simplest form, the objective of the complaints office is to receive complaints, to research them, collect facts, review the information, analyze what information is collected, and then resolve those issues as openly as possible. The complaints office is meant to be a neutral office. And it's really being established so that the community has a place to go to deal with unresolved issues related to the organization and the different services and things that we provide. one of the other values of having this and reporting on this in a transparent way is it creates a public history of issues that have been raised and how they were addressed. We don't really have that now. Things get addressed one-off, and there's not always a publication of that or something that other people who might be interested in that can go look at and see what happened. And then, of course, it demonstrates accountability for the organization. It's just another way for us to be accountable. Another objective of the complaints office is to help the organization build on its effectiveness and to increase transparency. So we want to be able to show our stakeholders that the ICANN organization holds itself accountable for the work that it's delivering. If there are areas of opportunity, you know, we're happy to identify those and work to fix them and then to, again, report on that transparently. And then if you think about it, transparency, this type of transparency really is a form of communication, which we hope continues to build on trust and improve relationships between the organization itself and the community and the stakeholders that we support. Another objective of the office is to aggregate these complaints, this data, in a centralized location. We don't currently have that, and by aggregating all of this information, it creates visibility that we don't have today. And then we can use that aggregated data to identify trends, to think about those things and solve for the bigger trends or the systemic or operational things that might not be visible if it wasn't all aggregated in one place. And then, of course, it streamlines the process for handling complaints because there's a centralized location and people aren't forced to go kind of from department to department trying to figure out where they can submit their concern. So the type of things that the complaints office will handle, kind of moving on to the next major bucket here, complaints regarding the organization that don't fall into an existing complaint. For example, examples of existing complaints mechanisms, just to be clear, are things like the contractual compliance department, the bylaws mandated accountability mechanisms like reconsideration requests, ombudsman, the DIDP, the documentary information disclosure policy. Testing my acronyms on a Monday, that's pretty good. So those will be your existing complaints mechanisms, and the complaints office is meant to handle things that don't fall into those, or if somebody's been through one of those processes, let's say contractual compliance, and they're dissatisfied with how it was handled or whatever, they could come to the complaints office and submit something. The type of things we sort of anticipate so far, again, this is all new, so we'll know more and more as time goes on, but would be issues related to processes, to the timing of when people are getting responses or information that they've requested, the levels of staff support. Someone might have an issue with that they'd want to submit. Accessibility to information is another example. And just to maybe give a few examples for context that I've just made up, these aren't we don't have anything published yet, so there's nothing to – I can't point you to the webpage yet to have you look at ones we've received. But folks might be unhappy with how a billing issue was resolved, like a contracted party in particular might be unhappy with how a billing issue was resolved. That could come to the complaints office. Someone might have been through a process with staff and feel that staff is overreached or not followed through the way they were supposed to. That would be something that could potentially get sent to the complaints office. If someone believes a process is broken, an operational process that they're using, or it's inefficient, for contracted parties, if a registry operator is changing who provides their back-end services and they're unhappy with that process, they could come to the complaints office. If somebody has an issue with how applying for a fellowship program works or applying to the fellowship program works, they could potentially come talk to the complaints office about that. Things like that, just to name a few examples that I kind of pulled out of thin air. I'm going to go ahead and move on to your issue analysis table. And thank you, Aubrey, for sending this along because I was able to look through it and I think it because you guys have been working on this document, it'll also help you to have me talk, you know, kind of map the complaints office to some of these issues that have been identified. So I picked a few examples from the table that appear to fit with a complaints office or could potentially fit with a complaints office depending on the circumstances. So the first one, issue one, I think actually fits squarely into the complaints office. This is the issue about community participants wanting a place that they can safely raise and work through concerns about staff accountability or performance. So this is really a good example of why the complaints office was established. And, you know, just kind of reiterating what I said earlier, the complaints office is meant to be neutral and to, you know, when something comes in, to collect those facts, to talk to the parties that were involved, affected, et cetera, take a look at what happened and see if there's an opportunity to do something differently or correct something. I think it's also important to note that the complaints office, the office can't guarantee a satisfactory outcome, but that rather that issues are going to be looked at, they're going to be triaged, problems are solved where possible, and that we're reporting on them with the appropriate amount of transparency. So that's related to issue one. Another one I thought that could potentially be a good fit for the complaints office is issue two. This is one where staff might be seen as crossing the line from policy implementation back to policy development or decision making related to the policy development. You know, really depending on the circumstances, this could potentially end up with the complaints office as well. If it's an issue about the organization or about members of the organization, which are employees or staff, our contractors as well, that's something you could come to the complaints office about you know, have it looked at and, again, facts collected, et cetera. I also want to point out here, and I think this group is familiar with this, but just in case or as a reminder, there's also this process flow project that Teresa's team has been working on. We have a project name for it, which you might be familiar with, which is Hubba Bubba, a form of bubble gum from a long time ago, or a brand of bubble gum from a long time ago, but not the case here. It's about Hubba Bubba. And that project, this process flows project, is looking at, for instance, the policy development process, because that's kind of what we're referring to here, to look at the flow, to provide the process flow itself in order to provide clarity on roles and responsibilities, decision points, what are the mechanisms if there is an impasse somewhere along the line, and to identify areas where there might be gaps in the current process that's established through, you know, the various ICANN mechanisms. Another issue that I thought could be a good one for the complaints office is number five on your chart. again, this is one of those where it sort of depends on what the situation is, but this one talks about how staff might not be consistently meeting ICANN's accountability commitments and the way that that staff is summarizing and responding to recommendations, concerns, et cetera, that come in through public comment forums. So in this case, again, this is related to staff and the organization and someone feeling that maybe they didn't, you know, quite do what they were supposed to or things weren't handled correctly or the way that that was expected. So that could come to the complaints office. The other thing I just wanted to point out here, because I in my former life, before I was a complaints officer, I worked on the registry team, and I had this actually come up once where there is actually mechanisms available, including staff summary report inquiry process that people could leverage. So, for instance, if someone thinks their comments weren't addressed, there is an existing process, this inquiry process, as well as a couple other things where you could submit that to it ends up going to the, you know, the staff contact that was responsible for the report. And in the case where this happened to me, it kind of came in informally, but we realized we had missed something. We went back and fixed it and republished an updated report. So the point is this is, again, another mechanism where somebody could follow that process, but they could certainly come to the complaints officer if they feel like, you know, that's a better path for them. And then the last issue that I picked out that I thought was a good one, potentially for the complaints office, is issue number 8. And this is the one, it's sort of similar to number 1, but it kind of speaks directly to, it's about issues with staff, but in, rather than raising the issue with the staff person in particular, raising it with their managers, and having the feeling that sometimes those, the manager sets aside those concerns or they don't quite get addressed. Again, this would be one that you could bring to the complaints office. It is another really good example of why it was established. You know, I think a lot of you have probably heard our CEO, Joran Marby, talk about the complaints office and how, you know, he thought that this was a really necessary thing for us. He, you know, I've been given a mandate by him to get to the bottom of things and to make sure I understand all sides of the issue. And, you know, to me, that's an important point to make, that my role is, again, neutral and to make sure I'm looking into things and understanding both sides, and that I'm making recommendations that are based in fact and that are constructive and actionable. So with that, you know, some of these other things, again, it sort of depends if something, if it's related to the organization, if it's related to staff, if it's related to processes, et cetera, potentially those could also come to the complaints officer. One thing I kind of want to make sure people understand, too, is people can submit anything to the complaints office. If it is, for instance, a contractual compliance ticket, somebody thinks the WHOIS is inaccurate, for example, I would just refer them to the compliance, you know, process for reporting WHOIS inaccuracy. So if something happened to come to the complaints office, it doesn't necessarily belong here. You know, I would work with the complainant and I would work with the other office or department or whatever that where it seems like it should be and get it rerouted accordingly. So that's the update that I have for all of you. I don't know. I'll turn it back over to you, Aubrey, and you can kind of let us know how you'd like to proceed.
Okay, thanks. This is Aubrey speaking again. I'll look for any hands from the people that are here on questions. I have additional one that I'd like to ask you about. If you look in our tentative recommendations list, we had one where we talked about, and I also want to ask Herb to sort of talk about the interface between you all and how all that works. Perhaps that'll be addressed to both of you. But there had been a suggestion, I believe it had originated with Herb, that there might be a reason to develop, it was either a three-part or a four-part group that contained the complaints officer, the ombuds, a representative from the community, and perhaps this is the fourth aspect that came up in conversations, I believe, was someone from the board on sometimes when there wasn't something that didn't quite seem right for complaints officer or ombudsman, or it was unclear where it belonged, and there was some confusion about it, that this group would be one that could sort of get together and sort of tackle some of those knottier ones where no individual was able to untangle the knot. And we haven't fully developed the theme yet, but it did seem to be an approach that people were looking at with a certain amount of favor. So I wanted, and I expect that you saw that in the fourth column of the chart. So wondering if you have any comment on that mechanism. Krista, I see your hand up, but if you could throw that in, and then I'll go to the list of hands.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. it's Krista again. Thank you, Avery. So I'm not familiar with this proposal, but, you know, I understand what you just said. From my perspective, it seems like it would be good to a couple things. First, to see how the complaints office works. It really has just started. And to get a sense of what gets reported and what those trends look like and if things are able to get resolved through that mechanism or, as I said, if it really does belong somewhere else, you know, it gets redirected and then maybe they're not happy with how that happens. So let's go back to my who is an accuracy complaint that belongs with compliance. Let's say they go through the compliance process and they still have an issue with something. They come back to the complaints officer. But I guess, you know, giving being able to see how things work with this new office being established and, you know, if it fills that gap the way we hope it does, that we do see that exists today in getting complaints addressed. The other thing I wanted to let you know is one thing we're working on, which speaks a little bit to what you're saying here, Aubrey, is we're trying to create we've got our design or our comms team working to design some sort of infographic that will help people, hopefully will help people understand when they should be directing something to the ombudsman, for instance, when they should be directing something to complaints, when it should go to compliance, when it should go to request for a reconsideration, et cetera. And while it's easy to say, it is a bit of a tough task, but we do see a big need for that just to help people understand where they are most likely to get, you know, the best place to go with their issue. And also one last thing, if it helps, you know, internally here, particularly with the establishment of the complaints office because it adds a new mechanism to the mix. We've been coordinating internally with the various departments, too, just to make sure we're all understanding things and on the same page and kind of understand where the differences are. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Aubrey.
Okay. Thank you. This is Aubrey again. I've got Alan and Herb on the list. So, Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I've got two questions. The first is, In previous discussions and actually in private discussions, we've talked about the reluctance of people to file complaints. In that case, it was with the ombudsman, because a lot of effectiveness at ICANN is in building relationships. And if you are going to formally complain about someone, there's a chance that you are damaging that relationship and potentially the relationship with others. And people have chosen in certain cases not to do that. In your office, you're now talking about making things completely open and transparent and publicizing things. That, at some level, makes it even worse. Because not only are you complaining about someone, but everyone knows you're complaining about someone. And so I wonder how you view that. The second issue is you mentioned compliance, and a common statement that's been made by various people is, you know, we sent in a complaint on compliance, and they closed it. And we feel they closed it improperly. Would complaining to you about that, as opposed to reopening it with compliance, be something you would consider viable? Thank you.
Krista, would you like to answer, or should I go on to Herb now, and then you'll come back?
Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. I was just fumbling with the mute button. Sorry. thanks for the question, Alan. This is Krista again. The first part of your first question is about the transparency and the relationships and kind of a concern that people may not may be concerned about submitting a complaint because they don't want to damage the relationship. There's a few things I want to kind of touch on there. I've thought about this a lot, and I think I'll learn a lot more about – I have thoughts on it, but as things come in and things happen, I think I'll learn a lot more. But based on my best current thinking and discussions I've had with others here too, the first thing is it doesn't necessarily – the complaint that gets submitted doesn't necessarily have to name people. There's also an opportunity in the – we recently published a frequently asked questions document that asked about the transparency level, and the goal is to be as open and transparent as possible while, you know, respecting private and or confidential information. And there isn't – if the complainant wants something to be marked confidential, we need to honor that. So if that's part of the concern – I get that there's a publication aspect, but there's also a, even if the person's name isn't in there, I'm going to need to go talk to them and the other related people, and they'll know, you know, that someone's complaining. So from that aspect of it, the way that, you know, we've been doing a lot of internal communication on this as well, because it is as important to make sure internally people understand what this is and they don't feel like it's, you know, something bad. That's as important as having the community understand this as well. And so there's been a lot of internal communication. From the organization's perspective, this is a positive thing. This is not, it's really to help us all be better. And it doesn't mean that we're terrible today or whatever. It just means that we're working together to be better. We have complete executive buy-in, starting with the CEO, but down through our executive leadership and our management team. I'm working really hard to establish relationships that I already have relationships internally, but to kind of build on those and grow them, to give people the sense like we're not coming after them. We're just trying to, if, you know, something comes in and it affects them, we're trying to get to the bottom of it and see if there's an opportunity there. I also think in many cases, the folks that are, that something could potentially come in are not in a position to fix things because of what the level they work at in the organization. And so, this actually might be helpful to them in a lot of ways because that's something that's beyond their reach to fix, but now that it's been escalated to the complaints office, you know, there might be a way to help them. I'm going to look at things much differently than potentially much differently than the department that handled it may have looked at it because I have a different viewpoint and a different perspective. I might see something they don't see today because that's what they do all day, every day. So I think that is a concern. I am well aware of it. I'm really hoping that people use the complaints, but they don't not use it because of this concern, because I do think there's some opportunities for us to do some good things, and if we don't know about it, we can't fix it. So that, you know, that's for consideration. Regarding your question about compliance ticket, and let's say compliance closes it, and it's not a fact that the person's not satisfied with the resolution, they come to the complaints office. What happens from there is going to depend on the circumstances. And I kind of expect, and it's why I said earlier that I want to set the expectation now that the complaints office can't guarantee a satisfactory outcome. If the compliance ticket was closed because the contract says what, you know, says clearly this, or the policy that is, you know, sets up those rules says this, I can't change that, obviously. I'm not empowered to do those sort of things. If there was an issue, though, in the handling of the contractual compliance report, or if something is off, you know, is questionable or whatever, that's something I would dig into a little bit further. So I hope that helps, Alan.
Okay. Thank you. I've got Herb on the list next, and then Greg. Herb, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Avery. Herb, for the record. I just wanted to briefly touch on, you made the comment of having a some sort of a panel of possibly the ombuds, the complaints officer, and a member of the community. That was thrown out there because there were a lot of ideas being brought forward of having the ombudsman as a reviewer of issues that might be considered frivolous, vexatious, or you know, something along that. I think was one situation. There was also, I think, potentially involvement of having the ombudsman in the with the empowered, I think it was, of having some sort of an oversight into people that came forward to the empowered community with ideas. I don't recall, this is all in the past, over the past several months. So I haven't talked to it with Krista, about it with Krista, of course, because these were just ideas that I had offered to the community of an option rather than having, and the DIDP request was one of the better ones, because if somebody goes to the files a DIDP request and it's refused for being, you know, vexatious, frivolous, whatever, the only place that person can then go to or one of the places is the ombuds. So having the ombuds review that creates a bit of a conflict of interest. Whereas if you had a panel of people instead of just the ombudsman, then any member of that panel could recuse themselves from the decision-making process if there was a conflict of interest. So I have no idea if that will ever get off the ground or whether it merits getting off the ground. So, that's kind of where it stands with that. The other point that I think moving forward, and Krista's done a very good job of explaining her role, I see the conflicts that are brought to the complaints officer more being about what is happening than who is happening. There's going to be a lot of process-related issues, a lot of issues about maybe policy and things like that. The interpersonal conflicts, I don't know if that would be the place that they would feel comfortable going, as Alan mentioned, and might be something because of the issue of confidentiality, and that's going to go towards our communication strategy as we work together in the future of, clearly identifying to people that if there's a confidentiality issue, interpersonal conflict, or a relationship issue, that the better place might be with the ombuds rather than with the complaints officer. Unless, of course, it's an HR issue, a performance issue, and in that case, I would not have jurisdiction, and potentially something that very likely Krista would also pass off to HR if there was a performance issue that came up. So just my thoughts on the idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg, please.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton for the record. To some extent this has been answered in the colloquy, but I was hoping perhaps get a little more direct comparison and contrasting of the ombuds and accountability, or ombuds and complaint officer positions with regard to confidentiality concerns, as kind of following on Alan's question, because the ombuds, to my mind at least, an essential function or essential way, an attribute is confidentiality. And it seems that the complaints office is perhaps a 180 from that, or am I not quite getting? Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. This is Krista Papik. If I'll just maybe give you my response, and then I Herb may want to add something about, more specific to the ombudsman. But first of all, I want to make sure everyone's aware. I think Aubrey may have sent it around, but I know we all get a lot of email. So maybe I don't know if everybody's seen it, but we did, Herb and I actually last week published a blog clarifying the roles of the ICANN Complaints Office and the ombudsman. And this conversation is going to be more in depth than that, but just, that blog is out there for your information. The visibility level in the blog talks, there's a table in the blog that tries to address the kind of buckets like function, who we report to, et cetera, and visibility level is one of them. As you guys know, the ombudsman is a confidential process. The complaints officer is a transparent process. And the way that we describe it in the blog is that transparency is the default, but that some of that may be restricted by the if was requested by the complainant, because again we don't we want to honor people's requests for confidentiality where we can. The idea is first of all, just thinking from a principal perspective, by creating this level of transparency, we're able to bring things out that need to be looked at, that need to be addressed, and to also let other people who might be having, by reporting on this stuff, but you let other people know who might be having some of the same challenges. They can go look and see that, oh, hey, this has been raised, or it's been addressed, or it's being addressed. If we don't have that stuff, people don't come to us, we can't address it. you know, the level of transparency is intended for the complaints office is intended to be as transparent as possible. Just because the other thing to keep in mind is it's not transparent or confidential. They're not mutually exclusive. There may be part of a complaint that maybe somebody wants the name blacked out or, you know, we're obviously not publishing, you know, people's contact information, but, so it is a transparent process. There may be some things that, get, you know, cover, you know, that get, that become confidential, some part of it. But even then, whatever is confidential, we would still report on the issue and what happened. So at least a summary of there was a complaint about this type of, you know, whatever the issue was, here's how it was resolved, et cetera. So that level of transparency, well, I'm not going to speak to what the ombudsman does. I'll let her touch on that. But that's what I'm envisioning.
Thank you. While waiting to see if there are other people that have comments, this is Avery, and I have a question, and this came out of that blog chart that you did, you mentioned it in the text that the borders between the two were fuzzy, and when I was looking at it, that was one of the impressions I had, is that, you know, when you got to the scope, and such, that, you know, for example, both have investigate systemic issues of unfairness, and such. So the scope seems to very much overlap. And if in my complaint I'm indicating it's an act of fairness, then, yes, the ombudsman comes up as the role that's responsible for ensuring fairness. And perhaps if I'm not speaking of fairness, but some other principle, then it's complaints officer. But since fairness shows up in both, I'm really wondering, how does one differentiate? How does someone with an issue, with a complaint, decide which of those two paths is right? Does one path have priority? Can one in parallel go down both roads at the same time, hoping that, you know, kind of like when we play one parent against another, hoping that one parent will give us the answer we need, you know, et cetera, and not that I think of the two of you as parents, but sometimes we behave that way. So that fuzziness at the moment has me sort of curious as how you all determine, you know, does the complaint officer get something and say, no, that's an ombudsman issue, and vice versa? Does the person pick and whoever they go to is right, but they shut off the access to the other? How do these things work together? And I didn't get that from the chart. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. It's Krista again. Great question. So there are things that fit squarely with the ombudsman and squarely with me, or that are more obvious. So, for instance, if someone from the community comes to complain about someone from the community, that is not about the organization. That is absolutely not Krista. Or the complaints office, excuse me. If, you know, someone comes and say this process is broken, I didn't get my thing because it's broken, I think that you know, pretty clearly comes to me. In the places where things could go either way, and I did actually speak, you know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me to talk about things they think might be a complaint, but they haven't been formally submitted. And I did have someone, to me, it's still confidential until there's an actual complaint. But someone did talk to me about something that the organization did that they thought was unfair, which is kind of what you're saying, one example of what I think you're getting at here, Aubrey. The conversation I had with them is, because in this case, it kind of could go either way. It was related to a process. They didn't think the way that the outcome, you know, the process worked and the outcome they got was fair. But it's also, they think it's unfair, right? So I shared with them, you know, here are your options. You know, you can follow path A, which is the ombudsman, or you can follow path B, which is the complaints office. Here's how they're different. And let them choose which way they think. So to me, it's really up to the complainant, to use your analogy, which parent they want to go talk to. And I don't have children, so it's proof that I probably am not a very good parent. So I appreciate the analogy, but yeah, I think it would really be up to the complainant to pick what they feel is the most appropriate path for their particular issue.
Okay, thank you. I've got both Greg and Herb. But Greg, if Herb wanted to sort of respond to the same thing, would you mind if I...
briefly, yes. Yeah, if you don't mind, Aubrey and Greg, just briefly, Herb here. Don't please ever treat me as a parent, because my wife never does. I'm always at the other end of the spectrum, so I'm used to it. Definitely the shopping is going to happen. It happens now where somebody will shotgun a complaint off to every conceivable, whether, you know, registrar, complaint process, ombudsman, you know, Department of Justice, the whole bit. So there are people that will be definitely seeing this as an opportunity to decision shop. We'll deal with that, of course. We'll have to have discussions when that happens to see whether one of us takes the complaint, or whether we both, defer it to a third party if, for instance, a registrar complaint process is also discussed in the email. So that's definitely going to happen. One thing I think that people have a tendency to forget, and when Joran came up with this idea, I was one of the first people that he came and talked to. And what stuck in my mind was his concern that people were complaining to the organization about issues. The complaint was being directed to the appropriate manager or department to be dealt with, and the complaint was dealt with and was never documented. And that was his big issue at the time, is that none of the things that were being dealt with by the organization, somebody is upset, they contact Akram passes it down the line to Cyrus. Cyrus contacts one of his department heads or managers. That department head manager talks to the employee. The employee corrects the issue or deals with the person that has filed that's unhappy. And none of that was being documented. So that is what the main focus for this at the beginning was, and I think still is. So there's an educational aspect of that, because I think those people are probably still doing the same thing and will continue to do the same thing. They will grab the department head's elbow at an ICANN meeting, steer them off to the corner and say, I'm unhappy about this because somebody did this or whatever. Now the department head will be able to say, okay, please contact Krista, and the complaints office will log your complaint and deal with it. So that's where everybody hopes this will eventually go. And Krista, you can maybe chime in if it's a very simplistic view, but it's kind of my perception of how it's going to go. So none of that will change my role in any way, other than possibly giving me an option rather than squirreling people off to compliance. If they have an issue now, I will be much better, enabled by sending them off to compliance so that Krista can appropriately direct those type of complaints, which don't come to me very often. So that's kind of where my view of this all sits. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We've got about 13 minutes left on the call. I just wanted to do the time check. Greg, please.
Thanks. I'll try to keep my question under 13 minutes then. Actually, two comments. One, I think the distinction of between what and who as being the subject of the complaints vis-a-vis the ombudsman versus the complaints officer is important. And certainly there's this often been concerned that, for instance, compliance efforts seem to be aren't even transparent to those making the complaint to the compliance department, and that's been an ongoing concern. All that you find out is that your complaint has been resolved to the satisfaction of the parties, but you're not a party, and so therefore you don't know anything. That's something to get beyond. So I think I don't want my earlier comment to be taken as indicating that this has to become a completely confidential procedure. There are valid and important points both to transparency and confidentiality, and they need to be applied surgically. My question was whether, since the complaints officer is somewhat of a novel position, I can only find a few instances of it when I, using a popular search engine, which I won't genericize by using its brand name as a verb, I can only find a few complaints officer positions existing. Are there standards or best practices, and what is your benchmark? In essence, how does the complaints officer know when the complaints officer or the complaints office is doing a good job, other than that complaints seem to be resolved? Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. I guess, Krista, that was a question to you, if you'd like to take it.
Yes. Thanks, Avery. This is Krista. Thanks for the I think the first one was more of a comment than a question, and then the second one's a question. But I did want to I noted your I didn't think that you were concerned or wanting to minimize transparency by any means, and that I understood your comments, but I didn't misunderstand your question earlier, just so you know. I also just wanted to say, you know, you commented about the compliance process and sort of having an issue with the what you feel is it's not transparent enough. You know, that is potentially something you could submit to the complaints office. And I'm not shopping for complaints, by the way, but I just kind of wanted to take the opportunity to point out something that that, you know, if that is something people take issue with, it could be something you have the complaints office look into and you know, see what comes back. As far as complaints office being or officer being a novel position, I also did a lot of research on this because, you know, Jorn says, oh, this is pretty common, and I personally was not that familiar with it. What I did find is it's not always called complaints officer. There's some similar job descriptions out there, including problem resolution officer, and a few others, which I don't recall because that was several months ago. But the what I did find is it seems to be common in healthcare and in government, which sort of makes a lot of sense because they both have a whole bunch of constituents that are constituents of the organization, but you know may not you know be like a direct customer, or they might be an indirect customer, and there's a lot of things that go on there. So anyway, for what it's worth, I thought that was interesting. I have looked into some of those to get to your question, which is about how do you benchmark and measure the complaints office or the officer. You know, I've been doing some research trying to sort of understand that. I also am working closely with, you know, my boss I'm sure you guys are aware, I know this has come up in the context of this call, just about how staff is managed or not managed, but, you know, how they, I'm not sure exactly how you guys discuss this, but how they set their goals, how those are measured, et cetera. And so, you know, one of the things that'll be a piece that is already a piece of how I'm measured and how the office will be measured. You know, frankly, you guys will let me know. I mean, the community, you know, will let us know if they don't think it's successful or it's not working well or what can be adjusted. I'm also looking at, you know, I'll be establishing service level targets as part of building out the process, which, you know, will be measured, which actuals will be measured against what the targets are. Those, you know, I anticipate these types of things adjusting over time too. you know, we don't know what we don't know right now. So we're, I'm using pragmatism and what, you know, reasonableness and things like that to sort of establish these targets and create this framework. But as time goes on, I anticipate that's going to have to flex and be adjusted to meet what the actual work ends up being. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's important that this works for the organization and that it works for the community and that, you know, people feel like, one, they're being heard, and two, there's responsiveness, and again, that they're getting the things that can be fixed are being fixed. I had a last point, but I forgot it. So, and it was my best one, but anyway, I'll have to save it for another day. But hopefully, that helps a little bit to address your question, Greg.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I suppose that
thank you.
People will be able to complain about the complaints office not being fair, or they'll be able to complain about the ombudsman to the other party should that comes up, or even complain to each other. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. I don't see anyone else with a hand up. I'm going to make a very strong point that everyone in the group that didn't make it to this call read through the transcript, the captioning, and I thank Kelly for that very much. In terms of, you know, going back, there may be other questions that come through, which certainly I can send off to you or can do it through Patrick, however you prefer to do it. You are obviously welcome, Herb, you know that. And Krista, I want to make the same invitation to you, not that it's a great fun thing to do, but you're welcome at any of the meetings we have as we discuss this going forward. We'll start taking what you've said and the possible solutions we've had and start working them into a set of recommendations. And I do want to make sure that we don't have any recommendations that sound alarm bells with you all. I mean, this is a process that we're supposed to be doing jointly in terms of our mandate. So don't want to come out with anything that we haven't discussed with you all. So may invite you again, but that would be a specific discussion. But I do want to say that you know, you're welcome at our meetings anytime, because that will help us in terms of finishing. Which is one of my strongest desires, finishing the work of this particular sub-team. Don't know. Let me see. I got some comments about it's my community. Well, we'll see. You need to throw whatever is necessary at us. Yes, the service level targets are set. Will then be reported on against actual service delivery. So with that, I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about on the document update. I was bad this weekend. I did not work on the report as I said I expected to, but actually took the weekend off. It was just too lovely out to force myself to sit and work. So I apologize. But I therefore will cancel the meeting we had for later in this week. I had left that on the schedule just in case I or others had gotten a lot of content to discuss into the report, but I wasn't the only one that took the weekend off, so really have nothing new to discuss. So I will ask that Brenda cancel the meeting we have for later in this week, and hopefully people who find themselves with that free hour can spend a little time in the report adding some of their content, some of their comments, some of their suggested text. When we next meet, it will basically be to try and take a deeper step into the possible solutions that we've already put forward. Having said that, does anybody else have any other business or any last comments for today's meeting? If not, Thank you, Krista. Thank you, Herb. Thank you, Samantha and Teresa, for also joining us today. And Brenda, as often. Kelly, the captioning to me is invaluable, and I know I say that every time, but thank you. And thanks, Patrick, for getting this set up. Seeing no hands, seeing no other business, meetings adjourned. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.